Chapter 155. We start for Talu. Bright was the morning, and brighter still the smiles of the young ladies who accompanied us, when we sprang into a sort of family canoe wide and roomy and bade adieu to the hospitable Marharvai and his tenantry. As we paddled away, they stood upon the beach, waving their hands, and crying out, Aroha! Aroha! Farewell! Farewell! As long as we were within hearing. Very sad at parting with them, we endeavored, nevertheless, to console ourselves in the society of our fellow passengers. Among these were two old ladies, but as they said nothing to us, we will say nothing about them, nor anything about the old men who managed the canoe. But of the three mischievous, dark-eyed young witches who lounged in the stern of that comfortable old island gondola, I have a great deal to say. In the first place, one of them was Marharrer, the bright-eyed. And, in the second place, neither she nor the romps, her companions, ever dreamed of taking the voyage until the doctor and myself announced our intention. Their going along was nothing more than a madcap frolic. In short, they were a parcel of wicked hoydens, bent on mischief, who laughed in your face when you looked sentimental, and only tolerated your company when making merry at your expense. Something or other about us was perpetually awaking their mirth. Attributing this to his own remarkable figure, the doctor increased their enjoyment by assuming the part of a merry Andrew. Yet his cap and bells never jingled, but to some tune. And while playing the Tom Fool, I more than suspected that he was trying to play the rake. At home, it is deemed auspicious to go wooing in the epaulets, but among the Polynesians, your best dress in courting is motley. A fresh breeze springing up, we set our sail of matting and glided along as tranquilly as if floating upon an inland stream, the white reef on one hand, and the green shore on the other. Soon, as we turned a headland, we encountered another canoe, paddling with might and main in an opposite direction, the strangers shouting to each other, and a tall fellow in the bow dancing up and down like a crazy man. They shot by us like an arrow, though our fellow voyagers shouted again and again for them to cease paddling. According to the natives, this was a kind of royal mail canoe, carrying a message from the queen to her friends, in a distant part of the island. Passing several shady bowers which looked quite inviting, we proposed touching, and diversifying the monotony of a sea voyage by a stroll ashore. So, forcing our canoe among the bushes, behind a decayed palm lying partly in the water, we left the old folks, to take a nap in the shade, and gallanted the others among the trees, which were here trellised with vines and creeping shrubs. In the early part of the afternoon, we drew near the place to which the party were going. It was a solitary house inhabited by four or five old women, who, when we entered, were gathered in a circle about the mats, eating poi from a cracked calabash. They seemed delighted at seeing our companions, but rather drew up when introduced to ourselves. Eyeing us distrustfully, they whispered to know who we were. The answers they received were not satisfactory, for they treated us with marked coolness and reserve, and seemed desirous of breaking off our acquaintance with the girls. Unwilling, therefore, to stay where our company was disagreeable, we resolved to depart without even eating a meal. Informed of this, Marharrer and her companions evinced the most lively concern, and equally unmindful of their former spirits, and the remonstrances of the old ladies, broke forth into sobs and lamentations which were not to be withstood. We agreed, therefore, to tarry until they left for home, which would be at the air, or falling of the sun, in other words, at sunset. When the hour arrived, after much leave-taking, we saw them safely embarked. As the canoe turned a bluff, they seized the paddles from the hands of the old men, and waved them silently in the air. This was meant for a touching farewell, as the paddle is only waved thus, when the parties separating never more expect to meet. We now continued our journey, and, following the beach, soon came to a level and lofty overhanging bank, which, planted here and there with trees, took a broad sweep round a considerable part of the island. A fine pathway skirted the edge of the bank, and often we paused to admire the scenery. The evening was still and fair, even for so heavenly a climate, and all round, as far as the eye could reach, was the blending blue sky and ocean. As we went on, the reef belt still accompanied us, turning as we turned, and thundering its distant bass upon the ear, like the unbroken roar of a cataract. Dashing forever against their coral rampart, the breakers looked, in the distance, like a line of rearing white chargers, reined in, tossing their white manes, and bridling with foam. These great natural breakwaters are admirably designed for the protection of the land. Nearly all the Society Islands are defended by them. Were the vast swells of the Pacific to break against the soft alluvial bottoms which in many places border the sea, the soil would soon be washed away, and the natives be thus deprived of their most productive lands. As it is, the banks of no rivulet are firmer. But the coral barriers answer another purpose. They form all the harbors of this group, including the 24 round about the shores of Tahiti. Curiously enough, the openings in the reefs, by which alone vessels enter to their anchorage, are invariably opposite the mouths of running streams, an advantage fully appreciated by the mariner who touches for the purpose of watering his ship. It is said that the fresh water of the land, mixing with the salts held in solution by the sea, so acts upon the latter as to resist the formation of the coral, and hence the breaks. Here and there, these openings are sentineled, as it were, by little fairy islets, green as emerald, and waving with palms. Strangely and beautifully diversifying the long line of breakers, no objects can strike the fancy more vividly. Pommery too. With a taste in watering places truly Tahitian, selected one of them as a royal retreat. We passed it on our journey. Omitting several further adventures which befell us, after leaving the party from Luhulu, we must now hurry on to relate what happened, just before reaching the place of our destination. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.